May we look this morning at the consummation of all things. This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Acts 1 and verse 11. This is the first message from heaven to earth after our Lord's ascension. He and his disciples were standing on Mount Olivet when he was taken up from them, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Verse 9. Then came heaven's first message, spoken by two angels, who seemed to know them well, since they called the disciples men of Galilee. They evidently knew all about them. The cloud is important, for had there been no cloud, he would have grown smaller and smaller in their eyes as he ascended. And God never intends his beloved Son to become small to us, not even to appear so. Now, first of all, we notice what the Lord said about his coming again. The Lord said nothing about his coming again until after Peter made the great confession at Caesarea Philippi 6 months before his death. The confession was, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Matthew 16, verse 16. Then he unveiled three secrets. The secret of his church, verse 18. The secret of his cross, verse 18, that he must be killed. And the secret of his coming again, verse 27. He said he would come as the Son of Man, which is full of significance and full of comfort for us who are men, that is, human beings. It was as the Son of Man that he lived and toiled on earth. It was as the Son of Man that he died on the cross and rose again and ascended into heaven. He took our humanity with him back to glory, which he did not have when he came out of glory. He is now a man in glory, and as the Son of Man, he will come again. And to show that he is Son of God, he will come in the glory of his Father. Verse 27. That is Matthew 16 and verse 27. Now, we notice what the apostles said about his coming again. That is what the Lord himself said. Now, listen to what the apostles said about his coming again. Every New Testament writer refers to the Lord's coming again. It was this blessed hope which inspired their faith and witness, their unworldly character, their moral intensity, their command of the future. James says, "When the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." James 5, verse 8. Peter said, "Hope to the end for the grace which is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. John says, "When he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." 1 Epistle of John chapter 3 and verse 2. Jude says, in view of his appearing, "Building up yourselves on your most holy faith, in your most holy faith, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ." Jude 20, 21. The writer to the Hebrews says, "Christ shall appear the second time Hebrews 9:28, and Paul writes often of it. And in Romans 8, describes two special features. First, his coming is to reveal the sons of God. Romans 8 and 19, many of them have been hidden in quiet places. But now he is to display all who are his, and he will be admired for his wondrous work in them. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 10. And secondly, he will deliver the whole creation from its bondage. Romans 8, 20, 21. The earth must be redeemed, delivered from its groaning and from all the frustration and impediments which are in it. Our bodies are in that material creation, and our bodies will be resurrected at the time of the earth's renewal. The whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain, said the apostle. And ourselves also. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the redemption of our body. Romans 8, 22, 23. Now we notice what the angels said about his coming again. We have heard what our Lord said, and we have heard what the apostles said. Now listen to what the angels said. I will emphasize just one thing that they said. It is, they said, to be this same Jesus. Acts 1, verse 11. They used his human name, Jesus. And they again spoke of him in his coming as the Son of Man. These are mighty and great things. There are mighty and great things bound up in that title. It denotes his relation to, his work for, his representation of the redeemed sons of men. His people, his sheep, the members of his body. And he came to destroy all the works of the devil in us, that we should be made like him and be conformed to his image. Now all this must have its application in our lives. I am not emphasizing signs and evidences of his coming. They have their place. I do not dismiss the signs of the times. There are such signs. But we are on much safer ground when we stand in the realm of spiritual things. Signs may be very fascinating, but it is far more important for us to advance in God-likeness in view of the Lord's coming again. The cross is the basis of that blessed hope, and I think we please the Lord more by gathering around his table to remember him and what he did to give us such a hope. Thou art coming, at thy table we are witnesses of this. When Abraham's servant went to seek a bride for Isaac and found Rebekah, you will notice that while he had a long way to come for her, she also had a long journey in order to meet Isaac. 600 miles, I believe, through desert land. It was no sudden jump from Mesopotamia to Canaan. It was a long, exacting, and tiresome journey, all of which involved a great exercise of faith. Now, there are many and much to leave behind There were many, and very much to leave behind to undertake that journey. In the same way, we are to move toward our Lord as he prepares to move toward us. We must leave behind all that is fleshly, and under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, be occupied with the blessed hope of meeting our heavenly bridegroom. Listen to the words of John Ross Macduff. Christ is coming, let creation from her groans and travail cease. Let the glorious proclamation hope restore and faith increase. Christ is coming, Christ is coming. Come, thou blessed Prince of Peace. Long thine exiles have been pining, far from rest and home and thee, but in heavenly vestures shining, they their loving Lord shall see. Christ is coming, Christ is coming. Haste the joyful jubilee. With that blessed hope before us, let our joyful songs be sung. Let the mighty Advent chorus onward roll from tongue to tongue. Christ is coming, Christ is coming. Come, Lord Jesus, quickly come. And to that, we who are his, say amen, even so come, Lord Jesus.